Hello everyone, my name is Ki and this is Metamorphoses. The last two episodes were me reading book one. I hope you enjoyed this change of scenery. I'll read book two after we're done talking about it on the regular show. But before I read you the translation, we ended with the story of Callisto and how she got turned into a bear in the constellation. This time, we learn that you should never tell gods bad news and that you should perhaps think before you shoot. This is book two, episode four, Snitches Get Stitches. There was a raven named Corvus, which is just raven in Latin. His feathers were white as snow, and I assume all ravens were white back then. It's not specifically mentioned that they were not. Corvus was as beautiful as the white doves and the swans, and for some reason also geese are in this list of beautiful birds. I mean, it's got some historical meaning, but putting them in this list is still kind of weird from a modern perspective. Apparently in the 4th century BCE, some Gauls attacked the city of Rome. The guard dogs were asleep that day, probably, because they had failed to notice the invading army. But who was not asleep? Yeah, that's right. The geese. And because of that, ever since, the Temple of Juno on the Capitoline Hill in Rome had geese in them. Anyway, none of that is actually important. The raven was white. Somehow, Ovid tells us, through his love of talking, Corvus' feathers were turned black. Our story starts with a girl called Coronis. She caught the attention of the god Apollo, and contrary to other times, it actually went quite well. She was interested in him as well. There's this weird sentence where it says that Apollo liked her as long as she was chaste, or not openly unchaste, which I guess means that she could do as she liked as long as nobody knew about it. Yay. But one day, Corvus the raven saw her with another person and was like, oh shit. He decided to go tell Apollo for some reason. While flying to him, a crow came flying next to Corvus. She tried to warn him. Nothing good would come from telling Apollo. The crow had done a similar thing and she'd been punished. One day there was a baby named Erectonius, who was in some strange way the son of Vulcan and Minerva. It's complicated. Anyway, Minerva took him to the three daughters of Cecops, the half-snake mythical king of Attica. The baby was in a basket, covered, and the daughters were not allowed to look inside. The crow was there and watched the daughters. Two of them did not look, but one, because of course that is where the story is headed, did look. Every single fucking time someone says you can't do something in these myths, someone does it anyway. So the last sister opens the basket and discovers the baby inside, and also a snake monster for some reason. The crow tells this to Minerva and she is punished for telling her by making the crow less important to Minerva than the owl. Because apparently before this, the crow was the most important animal to Minerva. This seems unfair, but I guess snitches get stitches? After this, the crow is still not finished with her story and tells us that once upon a time, she asked Minerva for help. She was once a princess in Phorcys. She was beautiful, and as often happens then, many suitors wanted her. One day she walked on the beach when a seagull appeared. This will go well. So, she runs and he pursues. We've been here before. She calls for help and Minerva is the only one who listens. The way she helps is interesting, but this is a work called The Metamorphoses, so you can guess what it is. Minerva turns the princess into a crow. The new crow seems very upset by this. Then she becomes the principal bird of Minerva until the aforementioned incident happens, and now the owl is the best bird. And you're never going to guess, the owl is also a transformed woman. She once slept with her own father. It's not clear if this was consensual. Anyway, this somehow made her transform into an owl, shunning the daylight out of guilt. Corvus the raven, having listened to all this, is tired of listening and thinks he knows better. He tells the crow to stop talking and flies straight to Apollo and tells him he saw the lovely Coronis in the bed of another man. When hearing of Coronis' unfaithfulness, Apollo is so shocked that his laurel wreath falls off his head. And I'm not joking, that's a sentence that's in my translation. It's a sort of record scratch, freeze frame moment. The wreath falls from his head, his gaze freezes, he becomes pale and his music falters. Apollo's slightly angry, and he takes his arrows, draws his bow, and shoots Coronis in the chest without much fanfare. Coronis, still having time for some dramatic last words, tells Apollo that he should have punished her after the birth of their child, and that now both would die. Apollo is now suddenly remorseful. He shouldn't have listened to the raven, shouldn't have acted so quickly, so harshly. He hates the bird and his bow in his own hand. Apollo tries to heal Coronis, but it's too late. Nothing works. He sighs, apparently because gods never cry, and makes sure Coronis gets the proper funeral arrangements. For some reason, Apollo waits until she's already on the funeral pyre to take the child from her. He takes the child to the cave of Chiron, a center and trainer of heroes. And then Ovid ran out of time to end his story, because it's just two lines of, oh yeah, and Corvus the Raven was turned black. Chiron, meanwhile, was quite happy with his new foster son, a child called Asclepius. Chiron's daughter, Ochiroe, comes to his cave one day. She had been taught by Chiron and now knew more than him. She could see the future, and now, with the child in Chiron's care, she told him his future. He would grow up to be the savior of the whole world. People would be alive thanks to him. He would be powerful enough to make them come to life again, but Jupiter would not allow this. The fire of Jupiter, Reed, his lightning, would put an end to this. Fortunately, this means he would be reborn as a god. Ochiroe also tells her father something delightful. Chiron is immortal, but there will come a day when he will beg to die, when he will be poisoned by snake blood, which is incredibly painful. Then he will be allowed to die. Lovely. Ochiroe wants to say more, but she stops and starts crying. Her own fate is catching up, and she is no longer allowed to speak her prophecies. In fact, her voice disappears, and then she turns into a horse. Not a centaur like her father, but just a regular full horse. Chiron was now sad, because his daughter had just turned into a horse. That's a valid reason to be sad. He asks Apollo for help, but he could not reverse an order of Jupiter. And anyway, he was busy doing something else. So, what was Apollo doing? Well, he was busy getting his cattle stolen. Don't ask me why a god would have cattle, I don't know. He was sad about Coronis, who, you'll remember, he killed himself, and left his cattle unsupervised. Mercury comes along, and this is back when he was a newborn god. Chronology does not exist in the Metamorphoses. He took Apollo's cattle and led them into the woods. Nobody saw this, except for one old man. This man, called Butters, which means something like, likes to talk, a good sign, was approached by Mercury. Mercury tells him that if somebody comes looking for the cattle, Butters hasn't seen anything. As an incentive not to talk, Mercury gives Butters one of the beautiful cows of the cattle. Butters reassures Mercury that he won't say anything and that a stone will sooner talk than him. Notice this sentence, it will make sense in a minute. Mercury leaves, but doesn't go very far. He disguises himself and returns to Butters, now looking totally different. He asks Butters if he has seen some cattle, because they had been stolen. He promises to give Butters a cow and a bull if he tells him where the cattle went. Butters, now getting twice the reward, thinks, hell yeah, and tells Mercury in disguise that the cattle is somewhere by those hills, probably. Mercury reveals himself, and Butters realizes he fucked up. He just betrayed Mercury to himself. Mercury responds by turning Butters into a stone. I told you the stone would come back. And although this is the end of that story in Ovid's Metamorphoses, you will be pleased to know that Apollo and Mercury became very good friends after the whole stealing your cattle business was over. For more information, read the Homeric Hymn to Hermes. And that was that. Next episode, we continue with some of Mercury's stories, and things go, again, not well for a girl. As always, you can find me on Twitter, at MetamorphosesK, and on Tumblr, that's key-metamorphoses. Until next time, bye!